Welcome to Busy Research, the podcast where business meets data and insights drive success. I'm your host, Vicki McCarthy, director of the Center for Applied Business Research at Austin Peay State University. On this podcast, we get busy learning about how applied business research can improve business decision making. In this episode, we're talking about employee engagement and the influence of awe. Today, we will get busy exploring real-world applications and understanding how research related to these topics can inform business operations and improve business outcomes. So let's get busy by learning more about workplace engagement and the potential of awe. And to learn more about these topics, I turn to an expert in the field, Dr. Kelly Langan. Not only has Dr. Langan conducted extensive research related to employee engagement and the influence of dispositional awe, but she has been a leader for over 34 years in various industries that include manufacturing, logistics, and health science. Dr. Kelly Langan is also a certified Dare to Lead facilitator. Welcome, Kelly. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me, Vicki. So happy to be here.
So to kick things off, could you share a bit about your background and how you became interested in the intersection of workplace engagement and the emotion of awe?
Absolutely. You kind of gave an overview of my industry experience, but I can actually, in thinking about it, about 14 years ago, I had an experience with a manager where we were having a one-on-one meeting, starting out with some small talk. And, you know, talking about the weekend, and I was sharing that I was working on building a skate park in our community with my kids. They were 6 and 8, and they were part of all the process. And he stopped me and said, "That's the Kelly I want to show up at work. And what are we going to do to get to have you be this passionate about your job?" And it was a really eye-opening moment, you know, like, I was always a positive person. I knew my job. I did my job well, but I never really connected like how to really have a passion for it. Luckily, we were able to find like a grassroots initiative that associated with the business goals. So I was able to transition into that role and kind of change the way I worked. And I can absolutely say it changed me forever. And I've thought about employee engagement in a different way ever since that moment. And obviously, this is something that goes up and down. So that was number one. Number two would be my opportunity with the Dare to Lead training with Dr. Brené Brown. That experience in learning how to, you know, take a concept like courage and vulnerability and bring it into businesses and, you know, observe it and measure it and teach it really also was another big changing moment that made me think about potential for concepts to be applied in business in a new way. And, you know, as opposed to like put a poster on the wall or add something and say, "Hey, everybody, let's have more courage. You know, we're actually going to dive into this, create a language around it and teach people." And then the third thing was when it came down to selecting a program for my PhD, I chose performance psychology and took a business approach. So obviously I was already had employee engagement kind of in my back pocket. And as I was searching for like what I was going to look at with that, I loved the idea of self-efficacy and resilience. And then I came across a sentence that changed my life in a paper. And the sentence was, "Awe-inducing events may be one of the fastest and most powerful methods for personal change and growth." And it was that day that I began my love affair with awe because it was this like free, amazing concept. And we can get into more of the details, but that's kind of the overview.
Wow. I love that. And I've never heard that quote. That's a great quote. That's really, I'm not very familiar with the concepts of awe. So I want to hear a lot more about that. A little bit familiar with Brené Brown and Dare to Lead and her leadership models that she talks about. And a lot of people might be familiar with traditional leadership models. But when you're talking about engagement and the influence of awe, this is probably a new topic for a lot of people. So could you define and talk a little bit more about your research and what your research revealed about awe and its potential for engagement in leadership?
Well, absolutely. I kind of have to kind of go backwards a little bit and try to how they kind of connect, right? So when you look at employee engagement, you know, it's actually a priority for most organizational leaders because it's so connected to performance. And a lot of the factors that lead to employee engagement, you know, are things like how people show up, their psychological, social, intellectual investment toward their work, right? And it's tons of research has been done on employee engagement. A lot of things have been shown that positive emotions influence employee engagement. But what stood out in the research was how different awe is from the other positive emotions. So awe has been on, you know, been around since Socrates and Plato. You know, Plato said it was the steps to becoming the ideal self. But it really, like in psychology, and it was just kind of lumped in with a lot of positive emotions. And it wasn't until 2003, this seminal article, so it's really only 20 years old, that awe has actually gotten a scientific consideration. Dr. Keltner and Dr. Hyde wrote this paper on the conceptual framework of awe, and they defined it, and this is what makes it so important, is a complex pro-social emotion that requires two distinct appraisals. And the first one is considered vastness. And vastness describes like a conceptual or perceptual feeling of being small. So, you know, in front of this thing that's going to make you feel that you are just going to, you know, it induces humility. And the other appraisal is the appraisal of accommodation. So what that means is you're not able to process what you're seeing, what you're experiencing through your existing neural pathways. So it kind of, you know, it absolutely disrupts your expectation. And that is what makes awe so different from the positive emotions. And it was this seminal research that kind of started a whole new trajectory for awe, and empirical research came out of that. And a lot of the things that have been linked to awe in research over the last 20 years has been things like, well, the biggest thing is humility, openness to other things, curiosity, resilience, creativity, innovation. It's been linked to lowering blood pressure and reducing stress hormones. So all these great things, and where they align with employee engagement, you know, they all align with being with employee engagement, because a lot of the factors, you know, cross over and pair up quite nicely.
Wow. And you talked about the narrow pathways. And so it sounds like there's a rewiring going on in people's brains as far as when they do experience awe. Is that a fair statement?
I've heard it described, and I need to give the credit to this. There's a new book called Power of Awe, and they actually used it for PTSD and for chronic pain. And the authors in that book called it a neural lubricant that like facilitates, and I'm going to do this part of the quote wrong, like, you know, it allows us to shift in and out of thinking. So the coolest thing about awe is, okay, it helps us, and this is what makes me excited. It helps us see the world in a new way. It doesn't let us filter through our experiences. So that way we become more open, right? We don't have to have as much cognitive closure around things. We can consider other people's opinions. And so all these things lend to being a better person in general, and it obviously in work, you know, and be open to more diverse perspectives, because it moves our attention, and this is ultimately what it does, from ourselves to others. Mm-hmm. Some of the cool work that they've done to show how this has impacted cross-culturally, and there were over 2,000 narratives that were sent in from around the world. And, you know, when we think about awe, we think it's going to be the Grand Canyon, seeing the ocean for the first time, all these big things, which absolutely everyone knows that kind of awe. But the number one thing that came through in these narratives across the world was that moral awe. So seeing others do acts of kindness, helping other people, coming together was one of the things that was the largest example of people experience awe. And so when you think of it that way, it's I don't know, I just see it as a huge opportunity to transform people's lives, and it's free. It's a global solution. So when we're thinking about employee engagement, and there's lots of tools, right, you can use to try to facilitate that. But you know, when you couple the idea of awe and in trying to be more engaged, it's just, for me, it seemed like there had not been any other studies done on it in this setting, and very little at all in with looking at awe during work with work and employee engagement. So that's kind of what made me excited to do the research.
And it sounds like when you were saying that just small acts of kindness can, and that moral awe that you were describing are, could be so easily found at work. And almost a paradigm shift, right? Because a lot of times we think about work as this competitive and, you know, cutthroat kind of thing. I think I hear you saying is that we shift in our thinking and look for more opportunities to be kind to people that would actually help the workplace environment more.
Well, too, it's the idea is that when they looked at awe and even other positive emotion research, they consider emotions in both state and trait. So trait emotions are also called dispositional emotions. So they're more of the tendency to experience positive emotions. So there has been research that's shown that people that have a higher proclivity to experience some positive emotions, and especially awe, are more prone to experience some of these things like, you know, openness, resilience, openness, you know, better learning, less need for cognitive closure, all these great things, more inclusivity, more social connection, more pro-social behavior. So the idea being that if you understand what the potential of awe and you seek it, then it's naturally going to shift the way you see the world. And then, you know, ultimately just by that nature, making you a better, you know, more engaged in your work, in your life, and in the world. They've done studies showing with even with increased generosity. So it isn't really like creating the awe for others as it is being aware of it. They've done some studies where they prime people for awe by doing a recollection of something that they felt awe with, and they've seen changes physiologically. They've sent people on awe walks with a dedicated intention of going and seeking things, you know, walking the same path every single day for 20 days, but looking for different things along the way to kind of shift the way you see the world. And then with the idea being that in all this research, when people did this, these other positive outcomes increased.
Wow. And it sounds like this could help. Like, we've got some pretty current business issues that, you know, we hear a lot more about this idea of quiet quitting and employees becoming disengaged, especially post-COVID, where, you know, we left the workforce or to work remotely and became a little bit unengaged, weren't close to people in our coworkers. And so do you see some potential here to address such of contemporary business issues? And is there some research that is related to that?
It's a great point. I mean, I think, you know, there's, you know, before and after COVID, right? I mean, how could it not have, you know, shaken us up and shifted everything? You know, when I think about that and quiet quitting, and I think about the Gallup polls, right? And then they haven't shifted much in the last 2 years. I think we're still at like 34% engaged employees in the United States, with 16% being actively disengaged, leaving 50% unengaged, right? So, you know, huge opportunity, huge issue for business leaders when they're looking at, you know, that untapped potential of the employees. And it's not even like this is like, you know, get back to work and be productive and make 1,000 widgets. This is just like well-being in general. So that's what I think makes it so cool. So when you're thinking about, you know, after COVID, and I feel, you know, a lot of people, you know, we went into that time with very collective intent and spirit toward humanity. We kind of like forgot about it, I think, a little bit. But I think some things have stuck. Needing more meaning in jobs, and needing them to be more meaningful, needing to see things differently. And so I feel like, a lot of the positive emotions have great benefit, none like awe that I've seen in the research. You can kind of compare it with joy. And joy, obviously, it's a lovely emotion, but it really is, it's an emotion that's a response to like anticipatory reward, right? You're enthusiastic to get something. It's typically materialistic, where awe is just that, a spider web you see that just is exquisite, or you hear, someone laugh so hard, it cracks you up. It's just can be these really little things that if you paying attention or deliberately pursuing them, I think, I look at it like what a little thing to make such a huge difference when you think about, it's like, when you think about the quote, one of the fastest and most powerful methods for personal change and growth.
Well, and I think what's interesting about what you're saying is that, it seems to be the conversation around this re-engaging employees. The answer to quiet quitting is get them physically back into the workplace. Let's get them back. Some people really liking the flexibility and remote work, where that could actually be a bigger turnoff, that forcing them back, where it sounds like what you're saying, and if I'm wrong, correct me, is that this idea of appreciating awe in all moments, if we can teach people to recognize these, could be done anywhere, that you don't have to physically be in the workplace, that you could still be engaged and excited about your work and have that flexibility and that work-life balance. If you're tuned more into that rather than trying to find this physical place for people to get together.
Absolutely. And that's the point of it, because, it still is subjective, right? It still is an individual experience to something, you could conjure it with, one person's music that they're going to conjure awe with. It may be another one that would not be theirs. But I think it's worth a conversation. And, even with Brené Brown's work with courage and applying that in the business setting, it really only takes a small group of people to create change within a culture, especially, something like this. So I think, leading from the perspective of awe and how it could impact employee engagement, and, I think just people understanding its potential. I mean, it's free, it's worth it. People are walking anyways. Why not, value your attention and think about going out without your phone or without your podcast, whatever you're listening to, just to take in some things, thinking about it as, we're looking for all these remedies to fix things that, all these different crises that are going on in the world. And this is such a easy thing. Why not try it?
Right. So what are some practical tips or strategies that leaders could actually use to enhance these opportunities for engagement within their workplace, the teams, and then foster more of a positive workplace environment?
I think the first step with this is in both cases, for employee engagement and for the concept of awe, I think starting with a conversation and education around it, right? I think if I was running, even a huge company and I couldn't get to all my employees, I think there is a way to talk about engagement, because I see it as a renewable resource, right? It's not static. It's going to fluctuate. It's going to be influenced by organizational culture and change and instability and, all these, and even factors outside of work. So it's really important to talk where people are and have the courage to talk about, like, yeah, right now I'm not really engaged. This came down and I don't know why I'm doing this anymore. But that's important to have. But then what I think is really important, and then shift it back to the employee. And that's what I felt when I first got that taste of engagement and attaching passion and engagement to my job, it became something I had to do. It was not for my boss or my boss's boss to tell, you know, to make me awestruck or to, you know, engage me. It was more like to educate, shift the culture, consider the potential implications, incorporate it into meetings. I don't think it would be that difficult to share awe experiences. And they don't have to be big shiny sunsets, and you know, they can be other things. And maybe the more obscure, the more interesting they could be. And I think it's just almost like putting a value on your attention. And if you know about the science and you know the potential of awe, you know, I think it gives you a reason not to, you know, try to like do an internet search to look for some information, like to be open more to like, you know what, I'm just going to go out and see what I see.
Wow. And yeah. And so it sounds like, kind of that two points that come up when I heard you talking about that was, one, that personal accountability of a leader can only do so much. They can maybe talk to it, give some education, provide some background on awe and what it does. But at the end of the day, it's the individuals who go out and they find those opportunities or those experiences, being as subjective as they are, and paying attention. But then also that I hear that vulnerability and the courage to be vulnerable, which I am taking from your Brené Brown background and certification. And so it sounds like you're talking about an intersection here, really, between that vulnerability and the accountability of finding these awe-inspiring opportunities because they are subjective and very personal to individuals. And so did you find when you think about your Dare to Lead experience and certification that just made sense, the awe research that you found?
Well, you know, I was so passionate about courage, and I was, it was not to the end that I started to see it as an applied opportunity for business. I think I went into it more with this, like, we can change the world with awe, right? And now I see it's, you know, awareness around it. I kind of see, you know, this next generation naturally gravitating toward it, and putting value on it. And I think, you know, I think there's a way without a lot of investment to kind of educate it. I mean, I educate around it and like, and give it a voice in the business setting. You know, I could see this, I mean, that this will be my dreamy, you know, your colleague comes in or, and you say like, where are you at? Like you take the temperature engagement wise, right? And you're like, and they're like, well, you know, I was really, last week was great. And this happened, it kind of knocked me down and I'm not feeling engaged today. And, you know, saying, well, gosh, you know, go out to your car, go listen to this song, or, you know, go for a walk and reconsider, see what you, you know, and, you know, just being more intentional about how we show up. And so I think, gave a language to have those kind of conversations and acknowledge that is not being foo-foo, like just figure it out. You know what I mean? Okay. You're not engaged. Go to your job. And that, and realizing like, no, it's going to make a difference. You're going to be contagious, whichever way you are, right? If you're showing up disengaged or you're showing up engaged, you know, that energy is going to transfer to the people around you and impact your performance. So why not operate from this space of potential to transform your lives and increase your creativity and reduce your bias? And hey, and it has a health effect. So I kind of think it's like a no-brainer. It's like a free solution that people are paying a lot of money to achieve a lot of these things that are the outcomes of awe, you know, whether it's therapy, medication, or I don't know what.
Well, that's a good point. And when you're talking, you talk about a lot of the strengths of
of that mind shift from internally and account, individual accountability, and then the opportunities that are out there for leaders. And like you said, they're not a huge investment. They're free, maybe a conversation and a little bit of time from the workday. So it's very easy to see what the strengths and opportunities are. But what do you see as maybe some leadership challenges out there for leaders that want to, who are like, yes, okay, I can see the value of this. What do you think some of the challenges are that they're going to encounter when they try to engage employees by talking or educating their employees about awe and what it can do for engagement, and also all of the other benefits that you listed health-wise? And
yeah, no, that's a really great point, because you have to consider that, right? I look at it like, okay, so we have our Gallup poll, right? We're saying that 34% are engaged. We got those people are totally going to jump on this, because even though they're engaged, they're going to be engaged in this, right? So all you're going to have to do is just, but the challenges are going to be the people that are going to see this as like, oh, come on, I'm not going to see I'm not going to have the same feeling that I had for the Grand Canyon as I do in that gasoline that went in that puddle that made a rainbow, so I think, dismissing it is that, and I also think like more around like the obstacles around employee engagement, if the leader is not considering that, I mean, it's been something that's been around, it's, not acknowledging that that is a factor in performance, I think is a huge obstacle, not seeing it as a fluctuating, element, or not understanding its potential for positive outcomes or the contagious effects it can have, good or bad. I think the awe, I mean, yes, you're not going to get everybody with it, but I feel like there's so many outcomes. I could imagine giving them a list of all the studies that have been done with all these things. Or how about this? We would reverse it. We'd say, what are you trying to improve in one of these areas? And the person's like, oh, I want to lower my blood pressure. Another one's like, oh, I want to be more curious, or I want to, have more creativity. And then this would be the prescription for it. Okay, well, go for an awe walk, three times a week, or journal about awe, or, sit and look at a painting, and see something different. And I think you could challenge it. I think you could, we know in business, we do a lot of different team buildings and we have themes at our meetings. And I think you could just interject this in one of the meetings and see, and it's also measurable. There are empiric tools to measure employee engagement and awe. If you wanted to be more, take that angle, you could, give the old classic 9-question employee engagement, Likert scored, questionnaire, and you could do a baseline. You could talk about it. And same thing with awe. There's a dispositional positive emotion scale, 7 questions, and you could measure it before and after if you were really curious to see if it made any kind of difference. And that's kind of what my research looked at.
Wow. And so for our listeners, and you kind of talked a little bit about this as far as how you could measure it, especially if we have people who are very metric focused in business, which is not uncommon, right? Especially we look at data. We want to know what does the data tell us? So measuring those levels of workplace engagement, awe, could be really important for leaders wanting to see some empirical proof, right, of what's going on. But in terms of other advice, like if you were to say, okay, here are 3 things that our aspiring leaders, our current leaders, or other, change agents, workplace culture gurus want to engage with, what would they be if you just had to say 3 takeaways from that?
I would say, stay curious. As soon as you get certain about things, you have limited most of the world to anything outside your experience. Second, I would say value your attention, or value where you put your attention, and be more deliberate. And I would say learn more about your colleagues. You know, we all do small talk. I don't love small talk. I love short, deep talk. How's that? Like, you know, I really want to know something. Like, so find out about their engagement, what they think about engagement or their career and how engagement has played a role or how what they consider awe. Have a conversation. I just think those are all important ways to look at our world right now and connect with people in new ways beyond, you know, the sports scores or the weather. There's a great quote from Cheryl Strayed from The Wild Book where her mom talks about, you know, there's always a sunrise and there's always a sunset, but it's up to you to choose to be there for it. You know, and then I think she said something like, so put yourself in the way of beauty. So the same idea would be like, you know, put yourself in the way of awe, you know?
Wow. Love that. That's wow. That's great. Well, so you have shared a lot about awe with us today. And I love the, you know, resounding theme of this podcast really has been stay curious, stay open to things. You also mentioned humility, which I think to feel awe, that would be a natural component of that, of being humble. So I love to hear that theme come up during our conversation today. So before we finish, is there anything else that you would like to share with our audience about leading for engagement and the whole idea of awe? Just anything that I haven't touched on yet that you'd like to share?
Yeah, I think, you know, I just would say, don't wait. Once you hear this, there's no reason why you can't walk into your kitchen and light a candle and walk through your house with just candlelight or, you know, pursue it, prime yourself to look for it. One of the things that I love to do, and I've been doing this for a long time, I'm sure I heard it from somebody, but I use my password for my intention, whatever I'm working on in my life. And it, with, you know, and you can use it to, you know, to be a subtle or actually more deliberate reminder to look up and think about where your intention is and, you know, and take a look in the data. There's some great books out there right now. The seminal work, Dr. Keltner's, he just wrote a book on awe. It's a beautiful book. He calls it the 8 wonders of the world. And he has a different spin on everything that we talked about today, but it's more from the awe perspective. So one thing I really like to say about, you know, in leaving this and summing up awe and just making it really simple and really what separates it, why it makes it such an amazing emotion, an amazing thing to experience is it helps us to see the world in a new way, right? Because what it's doing is it's moving the attention from ourselves to others. And that is the biggest differentiating factor between that and other positive emotions. But how it does this, and this is key, is it does it by quieting our own ego, right? And that makes all the difference in what it means to have an awe experience. I think the sentence I started with at the beginning from Keltner's work about awe-inducing events may be one of the fastest and most powerful methods for personal change and growth. Kind of says it all.
Wow, I love that quote. I like the idea of it as a password, just whatever your intention is. Those are some great takeaways for me that I can personally put into effect very as soon as we're done with this podcast. So thank you so much, Kelly, for joining us today. It has been such a pleasure discussing the potential of awe and leading employees to get them more engaged. If our listeners want to learn more about you and what you're doing out there, where can they connect with you?
Just reach out. Reach out to Kay Langan Consulting. That would be probably the best way to find me.
Okay, great. And I'm going to put that in the show notes for today's show so that listeners can find that information. And if they want to get more from you personally, they can reach out.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, Vicki. So great to talk to you.
Thank you to our listeners for tuning in to another episode of Busy Research. You enjoyed this episode. Don't forget to subscribe. We'll catch you in the next episode of Busy Research. Until then, stay curious and busy.